At the Kremlin Monday, words of warning about what could come if nuclear weapons got out of hand.
After a nuclear war, there would be no problems. There would be no one to sit down at a tree stump.
The words of Mikhail Gorbachev at the Kremlin Monday, who also warned about President Reagan's Star Wars. Wyatt Andrews reported on Gorbachev's address.
Gorbachev's audience was a gathering of some of the world's most influential writers, businessmen, and scientists. There, too, was Andrei Sakharov, formerly an exiled dissident, now an honored physicist, sitting in the Grand Kremlin Palace. American author Gore Vidal left the speech impressed with Gorbachev's style, convinced that Gorbachev is a new age thinker.
He didn't sound like a politician for 1 minute, which means he's either the best politician in the world or maybe he means it.
Harvard economics professor John Kenneth Galbraith described his impression.
My mood was one of encouragement. I also welcomed the absence of polemics.
In short, if Gorbachev's aim was to impress, he succeeded.
In San Francisco the same day, teenage Jews were demonstrating, protesting attacks on demonstrators in the Soviet capital the preceding week. News 74's Betsy Rosenberg was there outside the Soviet consulate in San Francisco.
The teens belong to a Jewish youth organization meeting in San Francisco for a national conference. They came to the Soviet consulate to deliver a petition calling for the release of Jewish prisoners and a stop to what they call anti-Semitic violence in the USSR. Specifically, they're protesting Soviet police attacks on demonstrators demanding the release of Hebrew teacher Joseph Begun.
These are human beings that are being so severely persecuted for no reason, just because they believe in a particular religion, and I think that that's just so cruel, and I believe so strongly that they should be freed, and enough for me to come down here and fight for that.
Fighting continued Monday around a besieged Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut. Shiite Muslim militiamen vowed to keep blocking shipments of emergency food and medical supplies to the starving refugees until Palestinian guerrillas gave up strategic positions in southern Lebanon. By Monday, San Joaquin County investigators working with San Jose police had arrested Joseph Nathan Knight. He was wanted in connection with the shooting of two Oakland boys the previous week. KCBS News 74 reporter Ken Bastida.
Mary Knight says her ex-husband hadn't come around the small San Jose apartment for several months before Saturday night. The couple has been divorced for more than 18 years, but police received information that their suspect was inside that apartment Sunday evening, and they moved in to arrest him without incident. Mrs. Knight says she was very surprised police were looking for her ex.
Yeah, knocked me for a Lulu. Yep, all my friends was calling me and telling me after they done saw it, but it took me a while before I seen it. I didn't believe it, really.
Police have charged Knight with the murder of Jamie Hawthorne and the attempted murder of his cousin, Joe Flowers, along a stretch of road outside the town of Tracy.
In Contra Costa County, another arrest, this one somewhat more bizarre. Public defender Stephen Camden of Vallejo was free on his own recognizance Monday after being taken into custody on charges of taking part in a murder-for-hire plot and suspicion of furnishing a controlled substance. Camden told News 74's Diane Callis those charges were outrageous.
Not guilty of the charges. And I'm going to retain an attorney to assist me in this matter.
Camden says he believes he was set up by someone, but says he doesn't know why. Vallejo police say the target of the alleged murder-for-hire plot was Camden's ex-wife's boyfriend. During the raid on Camden's home, two small packets of cocaine and marijuana were reportedly confiscated by undercover police officers. Camden was booked in Solano County Jail and questioned for several hours before being released.
Former Texas Congressman Ron Paul announced his candidacy for the Libertarian Party presidential nomination on Monday. The four-term former Republican lawmaker made the announcement during the Libertarian Party convention. Paul said the two major parties are both supporters of big government, which he opposes. American Indian activist Russell Means had already announced his candidacy for the party's presidential nomination. Perhaps it was inevitable. Pending approval by top brass, the Army might be operating an overseas lottery, and the military was hoping to raise millions.
15 to 30 million, as a matter of fact, each year, with 32 cents being returned to the soldiers' base for community projects.
News 74's Bob Melrose in San Francisco.
Officials of the Army believe there are already too many lotteries in this country to try their own, but overseas might work out. Lieutenant Colonel Barry Berglund of the U.S. Army Support Center says the top prize will be $5,000.
Well, you have a goodly number of laws that prevent us from entering into these sorts of ventures within the United States. And frankly, it'd be difficult for us to compete in a state like California if a soldier at Fort Ord wanted to play in a lottery, it would certainly be more advantageous to buy a California lottery ticket and win millions of dollars, potentially.
That's what KCBS was reporting on Monday, February 16th, 1987. With the news and review, Frank Knight, News 74, KCBS. A Syrian-mediated ceasefire was holding in Beirut on Tuesday. The truce had halted some of the bloodiest fighting between Shiite militiamen and leftist forces for control of Muslim West Beirut. At least 31 people died in the clashes. 110 others were wounded. On Capitol Hill Tuesday, Robert Gates' confirmation hearing for CIA chief turned into a defense of the agency's involvement of the Iran-Contra affair. Reporter Chris Kelly was there when Gates admitted the CIA had made mistakes.
We should have protested more vigorously our involvement in an operation where there were significant elements unknown to us and where we mistrusted key figures. The entire undertaking was a unique activity that we are all determined not to repeat.
Gates said had he been CIA director, he would have contemplated resigning under similar circumstances. He repeatedly said the information the CIA had about funds diverted to Contras was flimsy speculation.
The Assembly Health Committee on Tuesday voted unanimously to negate Governor Dugmajian's 10% cut in Medi-Cal fees to doctors and other health care providers. A deadline set by officials for the end of a 16-month-old AIDS vigil outside the federal building in downtown San Francisco was ignored Tuesday. 10 people, three of them suffering from AIDS, sat outside the door and led dozens of supporters in inspirational songs. Two mattresses were chained to the facility's door, but no federal officials showed up to break up the gathering. Joseph Knight, accused of shooting two 14-year-old Oakland boys in the head and leaving them for dead the previous week, was arraigned Tuesday of this week on charges of murder, attempted murder, and kidnapping. KCBS News 74's Lois Melkonian reported on the latest from Stockton.
Because of all the ties to Alameda County, San Joaquin County Deputy DA Ewell Blansett said the case may be moved.
It just complicates investigation and prosecutions tremendously to have a case... Where substantial contacts are in another community, particularly when that community is 60 or 70 miles away.
Although the San Joaquin County Sheriff's Department listed robbery as Knight's motive, Blansett said that testimony from the surviving Flowers has not been confirmed.
The officers have attempted to talk with him and get a story that's a lucid, coherent one. But at this point, I think that coherent story is probably down the line a ways.
Knight faces 25 years to life if convicted on all the counts, but Blansett noted due to the circumstances he could face the death penalty.
News this week that AAA shipyards would be going out of business. And as reported by KCBS News 74's Barbara Taylor, San Francisco Mayor Dianne Feinstein was making assurances that laid-off workers would find jobs in other local ship repair yards.
Obviously, we hate to see AAA go, but as the work comes in and the work is bid, and the bids stay here, the jobs are here. They may be in another yard, but the jobs are here.
When asked if she believes the closing of AAA is any loss, Feinstein said, "I don't believe it is." She says there is more ship repair business in San Francisco this year than there has been in 20 years, and the unemployed workers will be absorbed into the system.
Another record high for the stock market during Tuesday of this week, as it closed at 22.37.39 on a record one-day jump of more than 54 points. KCBS reporter Bob Safford looked for answers from a San Francisco securities expert.
John Skeen of Montgomery Securities sees two major reasons for optimism fueling the stock market. One is what he calls the reality of the new tax law.
We have lowered the tax rate to 28%. It encourages saving. It encourages people to invest in securities that have dividends because they get to keep 72 cents in the dollar rather than 50 cents. And it's a tremendous incentive people to accumulate financial assets that throw off real financial returns as opposed to real estate assets, for example, or other collectibles that may or may not pay a return.
The other major factor, says Skeen, is the prospect of a much improved international trade picture relative to depreciation of the U.S. dollar against foreign currency. Couple those developments with his company's belief that inflation will not be excessive, and you have some logical explanations for a healthy market.
A bizarre twist Tuesday afternoon during the unsuccessful search for a father and his young daughter, missing after their boat had capsized the previous afternoon on the Sacramento River. Ronald Hartnett, a member of a diving team, was also missing, and there were fears he too had become a victim of the Sacramento River. Sacramento police say Hartnett had failed to surface with three other members of the team who'd gone below for about 20 minutes. And that's what KCBS News was reporting on Tuesday, February 17th, 1987. With the news and review, Frank Knight, News 74, KCBS. On Wednesday of this week, President Reagan and Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir were meeting at the White House trying to gloss over friction created by the Iran-Contra scandal.
The major portion of Prime Minister Shamir's talks here are said to have dealt with the overall Middle East peace process.
White House correspondent Bill Small.
Mr. Reagan said it had been high on their agenda in their Oval Office meeting, especially ways to arrive at a comprehensive Mideast peace.
Peace cannot be built in an environment where there is no hope. In our discussions, we agreed again that the road to peace lies through bilateral negotiations between Israel and its neighbors, including representative Palestinians.
Mr. Reagan said any option, including an international peace conference, should be considered. Israel opposes such a conference, but a senior administration official says the split between the two countries over the conference issue is not a serious one.
The mood was far less accommodating at the Senate Intelligence Committee confirmation hearing for CIA Director-designate Robert Gates. Republican Arlen Specter charged that Gates was responsible for omissions former Director Casey had made during testimony before the same committee last November.
I come back with particularity to the testimony that was given by Director Casey on November 21st, which was skimpy, scanty, uninformative, and really misleading.
I believe that it was a fair statement of what we knew at the time.
CBS News correspondent Chris Kelly.
Gates said he would not tolerate covert operations conducted by the National Security Council. And he told Democrat Bill Bradley he has recently tightened CIA controls on authorizing covert actions called intelligence findings.
What would you do if you found one?
Well, the first thing I would do would be to hop in a car and come up here.
Well, you're learning, Mr. Gates.
Committee votes on Gates' nomination next month. 27-year-old Donald Carroll was convicted Wednesday in Martinez of attempted murder stemming from an unprovoked shooting that had left a disc jockey, Elizabeth Martinez, paralyzed. There for the reading of the verdict, KCBS News 74 Contra Costa County Bureau Chief Diane Callis.
Carroll showed little emotion as the verdict was read, guilty on five felony counts, including two of attempted murder. Carroll was convicted of shooting into Martinez's car as she drove with a friend, Roger Benelli, along Highway 4 through Pittsburgh, September 28, 1985. One bullet tore through her spinal cord, leaving her paralyzed from the neck down. Benelli was slightly wounded. The jury had deliberated for three full days. Chief Contra Costa Deputy District Attorney Jack Waddell, prosecutor in the case, says there were a lot of issues to resolve.
I think the judge was quite right when he said this was a very hard-working jury. They were very quiet. They took their task to heart. They deliberated long, and I'm sure it was a very difficult decision for them. As you well know, there were a lot of red herrings in the case. There are a lot of facts that perhaps gave them some concern.
Waddell says he's satisfied with the results, but says in a case like this, there's not really any justice because of the magnitude of the injury.
Carroll is to be sentenced March 20th. Director John Landis testified in his own defense in his involuntary manslaughter trial in Los Angeles Wednesday. Reporter Bob Fuss was there when Landis contradicted an earlier witness in denying that anyone having anything to do with the Twilight Zone movie ever warned him the Vietnam combat scene was excessively dangerous.
Landis and four others are charged with manslaughter in the deaths of actor Vic Morrow and two children who died during filming of the scene. Earlier, a casting assistant testified she warned Landis about the scene. He says it isn't true. Landis, while saying the use of special effects and helicopters is common in films, did admit on the stand that he violated child labor laws in using the children late at night.
We decided to break the law. We decided wrongly to violate the labor code.
Landis called the violation technical.
State Health Director Ken Kaiser and a group of co-workers dined Wednesday evening at a French restaurant in Fair Oaks, where business had fallen dramatically since a former chef had died of AIDS. Kaiser said he wanted to prove there was no danger of people contracting AIDS at that establishment. A Bay Area man who had tested positive for the AIDS antibody was suing because the test results had become public knowledge. KCBS News 74's Mike Sugarman with a story from San Francisco's Castro District.
Gary, you had a job-related head injury and at a checkup told a healthcare technician to be careful with his blood because he had tested positive for the AIDS antibody. Eventually, that ended up in the employer's insurance company files. The information, he says, was widely spread. Benjamin Schatz of the Gay Rights Advocate says it shows the dangers of mandatory AIDS testing now being discussed and can have a chilling effect.
AIDS-related discrimination in general is harming the public health. What we see in a situation like this is next time Gary might think twice before telling a doctor or someone drawing his blood that he has tested positive.
The San Francisco suit asks for $5,000 in damages against the doctor, two attorneys, an insurance company, and a host of others. And that's what KCBS News was reporting on Wednesday, February 18th, 1987. With the news and review, Frank Knight, News 74, KCBS. New York Governor Mario Cuomo took himself out of the running Thursday for the 1988 Democratic presidential nomination. During a radio talk show on WCBS, Cuomo said he had no plans to run for the White House.
I will not be a candidate, but I will continue to work as hard as I can to deal with those problems here in New York and to support the selection of our party as vigorously as I can in my role as governor of the state of New York. But the decision I've made, I think, is best for my state, best for my family, and I think also best for my party.
In Palo Alto, Dr. John Bunzel of the Hoover Institution said Cuomo's decision widened chances for several other Democrats.
And Senator Hart, who is the front runner and now will continue to be the front runner. But secondly, it will also improve the chances of a number of people who are not as well known. I'm thinking of people like Senator Biden and Congressman Gebhardt. I think it will also figure in the planning of Senator Sam Nunn of Georgia, who is considering putting together a committee of exploration before the end of this month.
On Thursday, State Senator Dan Boatwright of Concord, who had lost his job the previous night as chairman of the Appropriations Committee, was looking at options. He suggested he might still link up with minority Republicans in Sacramento to oust President Pro Tem David Roberti. A bizarre announcement from the government on Thursday that all toilets where drug tests are administered would be treated with a bluing agent to keep employees from diluting urine specimens. CBS News reporter Rita Braver.
Secretary of Health and Human Services Otis Bowen asserted that the new guidelines will protect the nation from employing drug users without violating individual employee rights.
The initial specimen donation is unobserved, and there are strict procedures for the testing, the handling, and the transportation of specimens.
As soon as the privately produced specimen is turned in, the collector must test its temperature. And if it's outside a certain norm, a second specimen must be given, this time in front of the collector. Employees must present photo IDs when tested to prove their identity. Monitors must report any unusual behavior.
The administration hoped to start the program within the next few months. More on the story from a San Francisco perspective. KCBS News 74's Barbara Taylor.
U.S. Attorney Joseph Rusinello says workers who refuse to submit face dismissal.
I think people have always, either implicitly or expressly, agreed in exchange for the privilege, and it's not a right, but a privilege of working for the government, and especially in the area where they have access to sensitive information, that they will be drug free.
The U.S. attorney expects lawsuits will be filed to stop the testing process, and he's not about to guess at the outcome of the litigation.
Ever since a fare hike in 1986, BART's ridership had fallen off steadily. But on Thursday of this week came what was described as an encouraging reversal of that trend for the transit system. The story from KCBS News 74 Alameda County Bureau Chief Jerry Wilcox.
There's been a lot of debate recently about BART's fares and whether they should be reduced to try and boost the flagging ridership. No decision has been made yet on that, but in the meantime, the passenger count has been steadily rising. BART's maintenance and engineering chief, Richard Demko.
It's anything but where we want it yet, but it is encouraging.
BART analyst Ward Belding said the daily figures have been climbing to around 200,000.
The trend seems to be clearly up, and that's despite the rainy weather and the cold that we've had the past 6 weeks.
No one is certain why BART's ridership is up, but some educated guesses include more parking spaces, somewhat higher gas prices, and good service.
A state court of appeal refused Thursday to upset a 1980 rape conviction of a Burlingame businessman, stating the recanted testimony of the victim, his Tongan maid, was not credible nor convincing. The defendant, 59-year-old John Vasey, had been sentenced to 6 years in prison after being convicted of raping an 18-year-old who had come to apply for a maid's job. 3 years later, she changed her testimony, saying she had consented that night to having sex with the defendant. Acting quickly on word from a tipster, police arrested 10 people Thursday in San Francisco and confiscated 18 pounds of cocaine. The story begins at the Holiday Inn on Van Ness Avenue, where management suspected drug activity in one of the rooms. More from KCBS News 74's Bob Melrose at the Hall of Justice.
Warrants were obtained and they arrested 10 people, seized 18 pounds of cocaine, and confiscated a luxury Cadillac convertible. Police spokesman Dave Ambrose says the bus started small.
It started as a result of a citizen suspected some narcotics activity, reported to the narcotics detail, and they followed up on it. And with some good police work and some breaks, they were able to find the people who did, in fact, have this large amount of cocaine and arrested him.
The Cadillac reportedly belongs to 27-year-old Wayne Bell. Police believe Bell to be a middleman in all this, living in a posh Pacific Heights apartment and driving the Cadillac.
Well, that's what KCBS News 74 was reporting on Thursday, February 19th, 1987. With the news and review, Frank Knight, News 74, KCBS. Ronald Reagan reassured a conservative political action conference on Friday that the president's agenda would not be stalled in his last 2 years.
The going may be a little rough at this moment, but let no one doubt our resolve. 6 years.
As he left the White House, though, Mr. Reagan was dogged by reports that his former national security advisor had helped in a cover-up of Mr. Reagan's role in the Iran-Contra scandal, by reports that Mr. Reagan had contradicted himself in testimony before the Tower Commission, that Secretary of State Shultz had blocked a White House plan for a joint U.S.-Egyptian invasion of Libya in 1985, and more. Reporters asked the president if he's worried about what the Tower Commission report will say this coming week. He said no.
That was Bill Small at the White House. CBS News was saying Friday night that the White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan was planning to leave the administration within 10 days, as soon as a replacement could be found. A White House spokesman said he knew of no such plans. California Republicans were warned Friday that voters were drifting away from President Reagan's conservative goals, favoring a more active, bigger spending government. Santa Ana pollster and campaign advisor Gary Lawrence made the comment at the opening of the GOP state convention in Sacramento. Convicted killer rapist William Archie Fain was found guilty Friday of peeping through a window in South San Jose while out on parole. Fain was innocent, however, of failing to file within 10 days of moving to Arizona last summer. A federal appeals court on Friday upheld the murder conviction of a man accused of killing a San Diego yachtswoman. Buck Dwayne Walker was charged in the death of Eleanor Muff Graham. The woman's skeletal remains were found in 1981, more than 6 years after she had disappeared from a remote Pacific island. In local transportation developments toward the end of the week, the first step was taken to extend the Caltrain Peninsula commute run into downtown San Francisco. Details from KCBS News 74's Mike Sugarman.
The goal is to get people out of their cars and off the clogged Bayshore Freeway, but studies show many people don't ride the train now because the end of the line is at 4th and Townsend, still a good distance from downtown San Francisco.
If I'm going to go down to where I work, I have to allow a half hour and a good 15-20 minutes of that is the 30.
The 30 Muni bus, a shuttle that Sharon Fisher takes, but studies show many people ignore it, just won't take the train. A committee of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission has now approved the 1.5-mile, $350 million extension of service to the Transbay Terminal, but not without objection.
I don't see any reason for a jump from 10,000 to 42,000. I can't understand where these people would be coming from or where they are working.
Committee member Doris Kahn believes the money could be better spent, and others agree. The biggest complaint, the funds should be going to an extension of BART to San Francisco Airport instead. The full commission must now approve the plan, and if that occurs, money must still be found.
By Friday, the Highway Patrol had acquiesced, dropping its opposition to the controversial 50th anniversary Golden Gate Bridge Walk. KCBS News 74's Barry Simmons.
CHP Captain Joseph Dutra Marin has decided his patrol will join other law enforcement and safety agencies in planning for the Sunday, May 24th event. He believes the final plan, when it's submitted in mid-April, will work because it's in the public interest.
People making their plans in accordance with the bridge being closed for a period of time that day, it should minimize our problems. I don't think we will wind up with gridlock. We're going to have congestion, true.
The city of Sausalito has raised the biggest objection to the bridge walk, but Dutra says that city will be open, only the lateral route will be shut down as it goes up the hill toward the Golden Gate Bridge. Also, the people in South Marin will have access to 101 and their homes, with a tentative plan to shut off 101 at the Waldo Grade.
The CHP position was, for better, for worse, let the party begin. A former defensive lineman for the team won a case charging medical fraud this week against the San Francisco 49ers. The story from KCBS News 74's Bob Melrose.
For years, Charlie Kruger was a mainstay on the defensive line before retiring in 1973. Today, he is a virtual cripple, his left knee shot by numerous operations and medical treatment during his career. Kruger finally sued the Niners, claiming he was not told during knee operations that some of the damage would be permanent. Kruger lost his case of medical fraud in Superior Court, but the State Court of Appeal, while acknowledging Kruger had a courageous, if not foolhardy, willingness to endure pain for the team, says the doctors never told Kruger he might be a virtual cripple by the time it was over. The appellate court ordered the case returned to Superior Court for a retrial on the damages. Although injuries and treatment occurred before the DiBartolo ownership, the current executives are liable.
And that's what KCBS News was reporting on Friday, February 20th, 1987. With the news and review, Frank Knight, News 74, KCBS.